So good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I would like to introduce you to somebody that's going to be sharing something interesting that happened this week at her workplace. Margie, come and join me here, please. Everybody, this is Margie. Margie, this is everybody.
Hello, Margie.
Hello.
Margie, we're going to have to make a plan here because you will never reach. Okay. You hold that in your hand. Margie was sharing with me something very interesting that happened at her office this week. And I asked her if she would mind sharing it with all of you because, you know what, the Bible says we must share our testimonies. And we must share them publicly. Why? So that God can be glorified. Amen. Margie, I would like you to maybe just quickly share with the people what you shared with me before the meeting started.
Right, you know we all get these CDs that Rion hands out every week. So I decided I'm going to give Rion's testimony to the lady I work with. She does believe in God, but she's not quite there yet. Okay? And I often tell her about all the stories that happen here, and then, you know, she kind of looks at me and thinks, wow, you know, this is very different to where I come from, and things like that don't happen in my church. Anyway, she took the CD, and I've been telling her for a long time to listen, and this time she decided she'll put it into her CD player, and her plan was that she's going to sort of get onto the email and she's going to do her thing and let it play in the background, almost as if to please me that I've now listened to this. But after a while, you know, she was actually hooked on what Rion was saying. And she left the emails and she focused on what was actually happening on the CD. Anyway, she gets through the whole tape and it comes towards the end of the tape. And she decided, you know, this is where Rion ends off with prayer, so she's also going to close her eyes and she's going to say the prayer with Rion. And as she did this, she felt this whole tingling sensation come over her body, and she just became very emotional and she started crying. And then she came out of her office and she lit a cigarette and she just said, "This doesn't happen in church." Okay, so this is quite an experience for her, but I think at that moment she realized what I had been telling her and how God can touch your lives. And this happened over the CD.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Why did she experience what she experienced? Who can tell me? It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've come to these meetings, you would have noticed that when we pray for people, after the meeting, things begin to happen. I want to explain something to you. We can't make things happen. It's not because we pray a lot or we do it a certain way or we do a certain ritual. If anything happens in the kingdom of God, it's because the Holy Spirit is there. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, you can pray till you're blue in the face, but nothing will change and nothing will happen. Now, what happens is, as we are busy here, what you aren't realizing is the anointing of God is beginning to move. And the anointing of God is beginning to touch people's lives. And that's why a lot of the people, when they come forward, the Holy Spirit has already done the work in them. We just pray for them and the Lord manifests His glory in their life. And as this woman was sitting there and she was listening to the CD, that's exactly what started happening to her. God is awesome. And the reason why I asked Margie to share this testimony with you is, you know that every week we hand out CDs. At the moment we are handing out between 800 and 1,000. The last 3 months in a row we have handed out 1,000 CDs every single month. That's a lot of CDs. And we are not giving them to you so that they can become ornaments in your home. We are giving them to you so that you can either listen to them again and receive the teaching, or so that you could go and sow them into somebody's life. Amen. You know, when you sow something, the Bible says there will always be a harvest. Yes. We didn't even charge you for that which you are going to sow, but the reward will come to you. Yes, we will share in it, but the reward will come to you. So listen, Yaman, if you've got a lot of CDs lying at your house, and you haven't listened to them in ages, and you know that you're probably not going to go and listen to them again because maybe you were here and you did hear the message, you go and take them and maybe think to yourself, who is there at my office, who is there in my family that could maybe benefit from this, and give it to them. Because you never know what God is going to do through that. I will never forget, some of you might have heard this on the internet, but there is a lady that normally comes here. I don't see her here tonight. She was listening to one of these CDs at her office. And she got busy and she got called out of the office and she left. And the girl that cleans the office came into the office while the CD was playing. And she was trying to clean, and she says the next moment something funny started happening, and it felt like she got arrested on the spot. She couldn't walk, she couldn't move. And she had this terrible feeling all over her, and she was filled with fear and all sorts of stuff, all sorts of emotions was going through her. And she called them back into the office, and she was explaining to them that she doesn't know what's wrong with her, but she can't walk. It's like her legs don't want to work, and she feels funny all over. And for a while, nobody understood what was going on. And then the one lady said, "Do you think it might have something to do with that CD that's playing?" And they said, "Sheesh, they're not sure." And when they switched the CD off, immediately there was a change in this woman. She could walk again. And then, of course, now they understood that she had some serious problems. She had some issues. And they invited her with to church. And she came to church that next Wednesday night. And when we started praying for people, she came forward. And she explained to us what had happened, and she said, "We must please pray for her." I started praying for her, and she ran backwards. There was somebody standing behind her. She ran right over that oak. She ran right back to the church, screaming all the way. We cast a demon out of her. He called himself suicide. After he left, you know what she said? She said that week she had planned to murder herself and all her children. That was what she was planning to do that week. And that's why the Lord arrested her when she sat and listened to that CD. Amen. So that he could bring her to a place where she could be helped. So you see, what I'm trying to say to you is, God can use it if you use it. But if you file it, God can't do anything with it. Don't file them. If you don't want to listen to them again, that's fine. Give them to somebody who needs it. Most of you are going to give it to your mother-in-law, and that's fine. She probably needs it. Good. God bless you. We were busy talking about prayer. We are teaching on prayer. And last week, we made the following statement. We said that as we have looked at prayer so far, we have found that there is a lot of things, principles, that the Bible teaches us about prayer that need to be in place in order for us to have an effective prayer life. Now, I'm not saying that your prayers will not be effective if you just go on your knees and you suddenly begin to pray. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that the Bible really does teach us about prayer. And it's good to know these things because, you know what? I believe all of you, when you do pray, would like to pray effectively. Because otherwise, it's also just a big fat waste of time. Right? It's like when you start doing gardening. You want to find out what's the right way. What plant must you plant where? Must it be in sunlight? Must it be in acidic soil? Must it be in alkaline soil? Why? Because otherwise you sort of waste your time. Because the thing will not grow and it will not bear fruit. One of the reasons why we pray is because we want to grow and we need our prayers to bear fruit. And what we said is, as we look at these things, it almost looks like a recipe is beginning to come out. Like there are certain things in the Bible that is put there for us, that if we were to follow them, our prayer life would be a lot more effective. And then I made the comment and I said to you that in any recipe, no recipe is made up of only do's. Sometimes there is unwritten don'ts. Ladies, you all know, when you bake a cake or you do certain things, one of the unwritten don'ts is sometimes don't open the oven before the thing is finished. Why? Because it'll flop. Now it's no use you do everything right, you do all the do's right, but you leave out the don'ts, because you are still going to fail. And there's a lot of things that the Bible actually teaches us on the don't side, where it tells us that if this and this and this in your life is not right, then your prayers are not going to be effective, especially not the way you want them to be. Why do most people pray? Why do most people pray? Most people do not pray because they are trying to build their relationship with God. Most people pray because they got some need or some problem. Am I wrong? Yes. I mean, you will find people that haven't gone to church for years, they haven't spoken to God in yonks, but when the pawpaw hits the fan, they will begin to pray.
Amen.
And you know what? When they pray, then they need God. They need answers. They need change. They need breakthrough. Now you see, the thing is, you got to pray effectively in order to receive the breakthrough or the change that you are trusting God for. And I'm going to start giving you tonight next week and probably the week after, we're going to be looking at the things that the Bible teaches us, that if these things are wrong in your life, your prayers will not be effective. And it's just as important for you to know these things as it is for you to know how to pray correctly. The first thing that we need to look at is, if you refuse to hear the truth, your prayers will not be answered. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9 says the following: if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable to God. Man, that's serious words. What he is saying here is, if you refuse to hear the word of God and you close your ear to it, then even your prayers are detestable to God. But now we must take it further. Because if even your prayers are detestable, that means everything else about you is detestable as well. This is maybe a funny way to look at it, but who of you knows somebody in your life that is really detestable? You just don't want to spend no time with them. Who of you knows somebody like that? Well, I hope you're praying for them. I really do. Try and convince them to come here and maybe God will change them. But you see, that's the thing. Because that person is detestable to you, you want nothing to do with them. And if they were to ask you for something, they would probably get nowhere. Now that's what God's word is trying to tell us, how we will be in our relationship with God if we refuse to hear the truth. This verse makes it very clear to us that your and my attitude towards the word of God and when He speaks to us will greatly influence the effectivity of our prayers. And a very important thing for you to note, if you want God to hear you, you better hear Him. If you want God to listen to you, you better listen to Him. Otherwise, you got no chance. And you know what? God doesn't lie when He shows us these things in His Word. He's showing it to us to show us what we need to sort out in our lives. I would not be surprised if there are many of you sitting here tonight that can say to me that there are certain things that you've been praying about for a long time and you can't understand why you do not see the breakthrough. Now, I don't know your life, but I'm hoping that if you listen to what we teach you tonight and in the next couple of weeks, that the Lord will put His finger on stuff in your life that is not right, that will show you why you are not getting the breakthrough that you are looking for. You see, you've got to understand something. I'm not going to say prayer is the most complicated thing in the world, but you've got to adhere to the principles of the kingdom of God, and you have to follow them, because if you don't, it's just not going to work. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God speaks to Joshua and He says to him, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. When will Joshua be prosperous? When will Joshua be successful? When he meditates on the word of God and he chooses to obey everything. Joshua was clearly told that prosperity and success could be his. You hear what I say? Prosperity and success could be his. But it was not a given, because he had to adhere to the principles that God had set out before him. If he honored the word of God with all of his life, then he would have the blessing of God. Now here's a very important thought. Who called him? God called him. Who anointed him? God anointed him. Who equipped him? God anointed him. Now God is saying to him, I have called you, I have anointed you, I have equipped you, I have destined you to do this for me. I have destined you to be a prophet. I have destined you to be a leader. I have destined you to be a man of God. Amen. And then the Lord says to him, but all of that means nothing if you do not honor my word. You can be called by God and fail. You could be anointed by the Holy Spirit and fail. You could be destined for greatness and never find it. And you cannot blame God for that, and you cannot blame the devil for that. You've got to blame yourself for that, because it is you and you only that can choose to obey the word of God. You know what? Most of us have a built-in right and wrong. Raise your hands if you have never ever been convicted about something that you do that is wrong. Just wave at me. If you've never felt convicted. You see, that proves to you that every single one of us sitting here, we've got a conscience. And our conscience is often the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we know when something is right and we know when something is wrong. But often we choose to ignore what is right and to do what is wrong. And unfortunately, that'll have consequences. You know, there's an old Indian proverb that says that your conscience is like a triangle sitting in your heart. And whenever you overstep lines or you overstep boundaries or you begin to do something that is wrong, that triangle inside of your heart begins to turn. And because it's got sharp edges, it pricks in your heart and you feel it. You feel that pressure, and all of you have felt it. When you decide to do something wrong, you feel that pressure in your heart. You know that this is not good, this is not right. And the purpose of that is to bring you back, to give you a reality check. This is not good. This is not right. But then they say that unfortunately the material that this triangle is made out of is very soft. And the deeper you go into the wrong things, the quicker it begins to turn. Now here's the problem. Because it is so soft, it wears out very quickly. So here's the thing. There are some people walking around and there's no longer a triangle in their heart, there is a circle. And the edges have all smoothed away. That doesn't happen overnight. That happens when we keep choosing to reject what is right and we keep choosing to do what is wrong. What the Lord is saying to him in that first paragraph is the Lord is reminding him that his attitude towards the Word of God, his attitude towards the truth as God speaks it to him, his attitude towards God's commands will determine whether he will be successful or whether he will fail. Whether he will be the head or whether he will be the tail. Whether he will be victorious or whether he will be defeated in battle. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 gives us a different spin on it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. In other words, the Lord listens to the prayers of the righteous. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When do we do evil? When we don't do good. We do evil when we ignore what the Word of God teaches us about righteous living. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. The Bible says, do not swear. The Bible says, do not lie. We all know those things. It is your and my decision whether we are going to honor God in doing these things or not. Even in the New Testament, the Scripture confirms to us that there are people who are praying in vain because their prayers will not be answered. Now, I don't want to be one of those people. And I sincerely hope you don't want to be one of them either. Refusing to hear what God is telling you constitutes disobedience. And you see, the thing is, it is a universal fact that disobedience will always bring problems into your life. Come on, guys, your mom never gave you a hiding because you did what she told you to do. She normally gave you a hiding because you flat refused to do what she told you to do. Or you disrespected her in that way. Now, you've got to understand something. If there are consequences for disobedience in a worldly sense, there are also consequences for disobedience in a spiritual sense. And often the consequences in the spiritual world are much greater. The ramifications in the spiritual world are much greater. You know, when I used to disobey my mom and my dad, I got a hiding. And the pain went away a couple of minutes later. But when you disobey God, you can cause problems that will last a lifetime. Unfortunately, there are people that have died before their time because of disobedience. Let me give you one just interesting example. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and that you will have a long and a good life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God expects you to honor your parents. He expects you to respect them. How many young people grow up with an attitude of rebellion towards society, towards their parents, towards any form of authority, and they die in the prime of their life. You see, the word of God is true, and unfortunately for you and I, but also fortunately, God has to honor His own word. He can't disobey His word either. And if His word says there will be consequences, you better believe that there will be consequences. And no matter the fact that He loves you, He still needs to honor His word. And so yes, people have altered their destinies because of disobedience. People have destroyed their marriages because of disobedience. People have destroyed their life because of disobedience. My friend, listen carefully. Do not think for 1 minute or even 1 second that you can bargain with God and be selective in what you choose to hear and obey and what not. In other words, you can't take the Ten Commandments. Let's just be practical. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, well, you know what? In my principles, I believe that we shouldn't steal. Thou shalt not lie. Man, I'm a businessman. I have to lie. Nobody's going to do business with me if I'm truthful. Now you're being very selective. Now you are trying to tell God, I will honor that because it's possible for me, but I won't honor that because that's going to complicate my life. Man, imagine how complicated your life is going to be now because you are disobeying God. We can't be selective in what we receive from God. Remember, the first scripture said, let's just quickly go back. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. To turn a deaf ear means you hear it, but you choose not to accept it. We're not talking about people now that have never heard the truth. They don't have a cooking clue what God expects them to do. We are talking about people that say that they honor God, that say that they belong to God, that say that Jesus is their Savior, but they choose to accept what they want, and they choose to reject what they want. My friend, if that is your attitude, Jesus cannot be in control of your life because you've decided what you want to do. It's not like you've given your life to Him, and you will live your life according to His word. You are taking back control of your life. Then He can't be your Lord. You have to live your life in total submission to Him. And let me tell you something. If you live your life in total submission to Him, you cannot but be blessed. Of course He will bless you. You see, there was a man in the Bible that made exactly that mistake. He thought he could choose what he wanted to listen to, and he could choose what he wanted to reject. And he thought everything would be fine. Let's quickly look what happened to him. That man's name was Saul. Saul, just like Joshua, was called by God. Remember, Samuel had to go and anoint him, and he was chosen out of everybody in Israel to be the first king of Israel. What an honor. What a privilege. What a blessing. Did God mean it when God called him? For sure. He was called, he was destined, and he was anointed for greatness. But he was not a great man, because he had a serious problem with his ears. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as He does in obeying the voice of God? To obey the Lord is better than to sacrifice to Him, and to heed Him is better than the fat of rams." Saul heard these words in the following context. The Lord spoke to Samuel. He told him to go and tell Saul to go and wage war against the Amalekites, because the Amalekites had caused problems for Israel a couple of years before. And it was time for judgment, and it was time for punishment. And what he was told to do is he was told to go to the Amalekites, and he was to declare war on them, and he was to destroy every man, every woman, every child, in accordance with the word of God. And he was to destroy all the cattle, every sheep, Every lamb, every oxen was to be killed. Why? Because of God's judgment on them for their disobedience and for the way that they treated the children of God, the Israelites. He heard the word, he acknowledged that he had heard it, and he went and he waged war. Now when he was there and he was waging war against them, he happened to notice that they had some serious cattle there. He happened to notice that their lambs were twice as fat as they were in Israel. Their sheep looked much tastier than they did in Israel. Who knows, maybe they just had better ground or better foliage or better grass to eat. But he noticed all of these things. And he knew that the Lord had commanded him to destroy them because that was God's judgment, that was God's punishment. But he chose to disregard it. He thought to himself, you know what? I've got no use for the people. I'll kill them all. But I've got a lot of use for this meat. I can do with this meat. And he made a decision not to destroy the cattle. Oh yes, he destroyed the lame ones and he destroyed the old ones and the ones that were half dead and the ones that were diseased. The ones he had no use for, he destroyed. No problem. And he was probably arguing to himself, you know what? It's not that bad. I did most of what God told me to do. I mean, how bad can it be? What did God tell him to do? Destroy everything. And you see, the thing is, when God says something is not negotiable, that's what you do. You got to obey Him when He speaks. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel the prophet. I am grieved that I have made Saul my king, because he has turned away from me and he has not carried out my instructions. The Lord Himself said, I am grieved that I have chosen this man. What God was really saying is, I am grieved because of Saul's disobedience. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he chose not to do it. The story is not just applicable to Saul. My friend, I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. How many times have you sat in church and you've heard the word of God? How many times have you sat in Sunday school and you've heard the word of God? And you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know what God expects of you. But just like Saul, you think to yourself, well, you know what, I'm not a bad person. I mean, you know what, I could have done this and I could have done that and I could have cheated on my wife, but I didn't do that. And, you know, I could be a murderer and I could be a... So God will be okay with my little white lie now and then. God hates lies. New Testament says liars are friars. New Testament says every liar will be thrown into the lake of fire. You think you're going to get away with it? You better repent before you get up there, because you're in for a shock. You see, we do the same thing that Saul did. We choose to selectively listen to only certain parts of the Bible. Yeah, that fits in with my understanding and that fits in with my belief and that's easy enough to do. But this, nah, no, man, God, surely God can't expect me to live a life like that. Surely God can't expect me to do this and this and this and this. My friend, it's in the Bible because He expects you to do that. You see, what we fail to realize is, when you gave your life to Jesus, that's exactly what you did. You gave your life. It's no longer your life. It's His. Amen. And every time you choose to do your own thing, you are taking back your life. Man, that's exactly what the devil's waiting for. Because when your life belongs to Jesus, no, he can't mess with you. He can't do whatever he wants. But whenever you take your life back and you say, I won't do that, and I won't do that, and I won't do that, and you are stubborn, then you give him big place. Because you see, you've irritated him for the last couple of months, being all spiritual and being all anointed. And now he's got the opportunity that he's been looking for, to nail you. And don't think for a second that he won't. That's what he does. The Lord made the statement and He said, I am grieved because of what Saul has done. And if Saul grieved God by disobeying Him, then you and I grieve God when we disobey Him. Nothing has changed. You could come with your Old Testament rubbish. It's still the same. If you grieve God, you grieve God. Finished and laugh. Full stop. And you see, the one that gets grieved, the Bible says, do not grieve the Spirit of God. He's the one that gets grieved when we choose to do whatever we want to do. You see, the thing is, He's your helper. The Bible says He's come to help you. He's come to help you live a godly life. He's come to help you honor God. And every time you decide, nah man, this is not for me, and that's not for me, and I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, you are turning your back on the Holy Spirit. You are refusing His help, and you are grieving Him. And you know what? That's a huge problem. Because all life comes from the Spirit of God. There is no life in you without Him. There's no anointing on your life without Him. There is no power in your life without Him. And every time you turn your back on Him, the anointing in your life gets smaller and smaller and smaller. We pray because we got problems. That shouldn't be the only reason why you pray, but that's the big reason why many people pray. Now think for one second. Who's going to sort out your problems? I'm going to take you back again to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And God spoke these words. He said, let there be light. Boom. There was light. How did darkness turn into light? When God spoke the word and the Holy Spirit manifested the power. So now you're praying about stuff. You want change in your marriage. You want change in your finances. We're living in South Africa right now. Everybody needs change in their finances. Everybody needs breakthrough. And you're praying and praying and praying, and you're spending hours on your knees. But you grieve the Holy Spirit every day because you choose what you want to do and what not. Even if God was to speak into your life, healing, deliverance, breakthrough, because you have grieved the Holy Spirit and turned away from Him, the anointing and the power to manifest what God has just spoken cannot manifest. Do you understand? We cause our own problems. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no victory. There is no life. 1 Samuel 15 verse 26. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of God, and now the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Saul missed it because he thought he could choose what truth he wanted to hear and what truth he rejected. And ultimately, through his own consequence, through his own disobedience, he too was rejected. Now, you know what? God has a lot of mercy. I don't know where Saul is right now. I don't know if he went to heaven or if he went to hell or what happened to him. I don't know. But I do know what is written about him in the Word of God. And the Lord allowed this to be written down so that we can learn something from his life and not make the same mistakes that he has made. Now I want to explain something to you that is a big problem for people. In Saul's case, Saul knew exactly why he would no longer be king. Because a prophet of God walked up to him and said, thus says the Lord, because of what you have done, you are rejected and you will not be king. So Saul knew exactly why he was removed from God, why he no longer had anointing, why his calling went down the tubes. With us, it's a little bit different. Because in general, these days, we don't have prophets walking around saying, thus says the Lord, because you have done this and that and that and that, this is going to happen. But it's not changed. Because disobedience had consequences in Saul's day, and disobedience has consequences today. The problem is, it sometimes takes quite a while before you begin to manifest the problems that you caused for yourself through disobedience. You know, it's the old thing that the Bible has a lot to say about sowing and reaping. Sir, have you ever gardened? Are you a green finger? Are you the green finger? What is typically the seeds that you would normally plant? Do you plant seeds? All right, give me just an example, one or two. Bulbs, lilies, okay, anything that's like a small little seed, like tomato or, what? Carnations. What would you do if you put that seed into the ground and the next moment, here's the plant? She would phone the exorcist. Yeah, she would run to the church. Because we all know that that doesn't happen. You see, the thing that I want you to understand is, everything we do is sowing a seed in our life somehow. The way I talk to her, I'm sowing a seed. The things I think about him, I'm sowing a seed. The way I treat her, I'm sowing a seed. When I honor God, I'm sowing good seed, like fruit, something that will bear fruit. If I dishonor God, I'm sowing kakibos. You all know kakibos. And my personal favorite, wachabikibos. I don't know if there's a name. Does anybody know? Is there a name for a wachabikibos? Okay, if you've never been in the bushveld, you've probably never encountered one. But the wachabikibos is a very interesting plant. It's like a shrub. It's like quite a dense bush. And it's got these hooks that are like fish hooks. And there's a thousand, there's a gazillion of them. And the problem is, if you walk into that bush and it grabs a hold of you, the more you struggle, the more of these hooks grab onto you. And I'm pretty sure some people have possibly had to go home naked because they just couldn't get their clothes out there. Because that thing will just hold onto you. It'll just hold onto you. Now you see, that's the type of stuff that's going to start growing spiritually in your life. It's going to hold you and it will not allow you to go forward. It will not allow you to move deeper into the things of God, and it will not allow you to move down the road of prosperity, blessing, health, healing and restoration. It will keep you right there. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is this. Nothing pops up instantly. So you treat people with disrespect today, and tomorrow it looks like everything's fine, and the day after it looks like everything's brilliant and I have a wonderful life. And then suddenly one day, bam, trouble hits you like you can't believe. You get like a serious club from the side here and you don't know where on earth is this coming from. The wheels fall off, the pawpaw hits the fan, a bunch of other stuff that we can't name also hits, and you sit there and you're trying to pick up the pieces and you say, what the hell is going on here? Wat op aarde gaan nie aan? And you see, then you try and figure out what's going on. Who's cursed me? Who's done this? Who's... Meanwhile, this is the manifestation of what you have sown 6 months ago, a year ago, because you do not know how long it'll take for that seed that you've put to grow and produce fruit. But it'll grow. It will produce fruit. If you honored God and you obeyed Him, it'll be something good that you can use, that'll bless you. If you did not honor God, it'll be something bad. The second thing that we're going to look at, okay, so the first one that we looked at is closing your ears and refusing to hear the truth from God's Word. Right now we are sharing truth with you. I can't make you obey. I can't make you honor God. That's a decision you have to make. But you have to make it. The second one that we're going to look at is refusing to humble yourself and refusing to repent. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and if they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a promise that God gave the Israelites many thousands of years ago when they had big problems. The Lord said, if you, my people, who are called by my name, if you will humble yourself. Why is the word if there? Because God is showing us that this is conditional. All right? There is a promise that is just being given, but there are conditions to this promise. And if you do not meet the conditions, you cannot have the promise. And that has never changed. This promise was given to them many years ago. And it shows us some of the principles that God adheres to when it comes to prayer. Firstly, the context here is clearly prayer. If my people will humble themselves and pray. The context here is prayer. But now God says to them, unless you pray with the right attitude, do not think for one second that I will hear from heaven. Because the wrong attitude closes God's ear. The word humility, because God says we must humble ourselves. What do we mean by humility? You see, the thing is, the world doesn't understand humility. The world thinks humility is for sissies. Unless you are humble in the kingdom of God, you've got a serious problem with your prayer life. Because God will not hear you. He says so in His word. He will not listen. The world sees humility as weakness. You see, because I am humble, I can come before God and say, I can't do this alone, Lord. Please have mercy on me. Please help me. The world will say, what's your problem, man? What do you mean you can't? Of course you can do this, man. Just do this and this and this, bit of positive thinking, bit of this, but... My friend, the only attitude that will get God's blessing upon your life and upon your prayer life is when you come before Him in humbleness. You try and get cocky with God. And I've heard many people do that. You've got a problem. In Afrikaans, jy pluk a lot vir jou eie. Yeah. You are causing big problems for yourself. When you talk to God, when you speak to God, when you spend time with God, remember who He is and remember who you are. And come to Him humble. Often people get angry with God. They will yell at Him. They will shout at Him. I have heard people curse God with my own ears. And you know what? The next day and the next day, their life seems to be okay and things go on. You have no idea what's waiting for them. Because guess what you sow when you have an attitude with God? Man, you sow thorns and thistles and a whole bunch of rubbish. To be humble means to admit, to be able to admit that you are weak. That without God you are nothing. It is abandoning your faith in yourself, your own plans, and what the world can do for you, what others can do for you, and trusting implicitly in God and in God only. You see, many Christians are unfortunately too proud to admit that they even have a problem. We see that so often. Pride. There's a lot of Afrikaner boertjies here. That's a stronghold in our culture. Lots of Afrikaners are way too proud to admit that they've got any problems. They can't show weakness. Cowboys don't cry. You're going to cry when the devil claps you. I promise you. And he will clap you if you don't change your attitude and sort out your life. It's a humbling thing to go to somebody and say, help me, please. A lot of people are just too proud to even do that. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are supposed to help one another. Nobody can help you if you don't even want to come and ask for help. Often somebody in your family can see that you're suffering. They can see that your life is falling apart. And they will beg you and say, listen, yeah, just ask for help. Ask the pastor to pray for you. Tell him what you're feeling. No, I've got no problems. Woman, leave me alone. Who are you trying to fool? Who are you trying to kid? The devil's laughing at you, man. He's laughing at you. Because he's using your own attitude against you. And he will sort you out. Quick, quick. You see, unfortunately, when we are worried about what other people think, we are no longer worried about what God thinks. And tell me something. Can one of those people that are going to be looking at you when you say, please, I've got a problem, can they do anything to change your life? No. But God can. And God expects you to be humble. And again, I say to you, it's a humbling thing. Even like now, tonight we're going to be praying for people. And it's a humbling thing to walk forward and say, listen, yeah, please pray for me because I've got some problem in my life.
Amen.
A lot of people will just rather go home because they can't get up and walk in front of people. This is your opportunity to overcome that devil in your life.
Amen.
That doesn't want you.
Amen, Lord.
To humble yourself before God. This is not just for the men, this is for all of us.
Amen.
Pride is a despicable thing. A man and a woman will fight in the marriage and they are both too proud to say, sorry. Man, just humble yourself. Because the Bible says when you humble yourself before God, He will lift you up.
Hallelujah.
But if you are not willing to humble yourself, nobody will lift you up. You will be stuck in a pit for the rest of your life. The two things that he said there that we need if we want him to hear us and bring healing is we must have an attitude of humility and we must have an attitude of repentance. You see, humility alone will not turn God's ear towards you. There has to be repentance. Matthew 3 verse 1 to 2. In the days John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and he was saying, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. This was before Jesus publicly walked around, prophesied, healed people, cast out devils and did miracles. John the Baptist came to usher in the dispensation of Christ, to usher in the dispensation of God's grace through Jesus Christ, where people would be healed, delivered, set free. And he came to warn people and he said to them, repent, for the kingdom is near. You can't enter the kingdom if you are not willing to repent of the rubbish in your life. Repentance is a common theme and it runs throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Israelites needed to repent often because they would run after false gods. And if they did not repent fully, tomorrow they would run after them again. And they would keep on suffering. Their lives would go nowhere. Repentance implies a willingness to change your life, to live your life according to God's word, a willingness to lay down that which is wrong in God's eyes. Now you see, that's difficult for people because some of those things that you are doing, you like them. If you look at women the wrong way, your eyes like to look at women the wrong way. If you drink to get drunk every now and then, your flesh likes to get drunk. You feel a lot better about yourself when you are drunk. And maybe it's difficult to lay it down. But in the kingdom of God, that's what you're going to have to do. Because God expects repentance. He expects you to understand that what you are doing is wrong. Understand that that's not His will for your life. And choose to turn your back on it.
Amen.
And lay it down. And not turn your back on it and lay it down, but walk away from it, eyeballing it, with longing in your eyes. Lay it down. Let it go. Mark 1 verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Now repent and believe the good news. John the Baptist started preaching that repentance will bring you to the kingdom. Jesus Christ came and said that repentance will put you in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a wonderful place. It is a place where sickness can be healed in an instant. It is a place where the biggest problem that you can think of can be sorted out by God just breathing on it. The kingdom of God is a wonderful place. But unless you are willing to repent, you're not part of it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are willing to repent, you are going to miss out on the supernatural power of the kingdom of God in your life. Revelation 3 verse 19, God speaking and He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest. And repent. I don't have to say much more about that. God says He loves you, and because He loves you, He will discipline you. The thing that you got to do is be earnest with Him.
Amen.
And repent. I'm going to say to you again, nobody gets a hiding when they do the right thing. But you get it when you are disobedient. The third thing that we're going to look at is forsaking God. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 2. He went out to Asa and he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." If you turn away from God and you forsake Him, you will no longer have His presence with you, and you will no longer have His blessing. In those days, when this prophetic word was spoken, the Israelites used to be like yo-yos. Today we're up and tomorrow we're down. Then we're up and then we're down. Then we serve God and we proclaim that there is only one God. Tomorrow we find out that there is a chocho named Baal and maybe he can do something for us. So we run after him. Every time they did that, they would forsake God. They would turn their back on him. And they would suffer. And if you go and read what happened to the Israelites, you will know that you know that they suffered badly. Firstly, we know that none of the ones that heard the promise, except Joshua and Caleb, made it into the promised land. That's terrible. So close, but yet so far. Because of what? Because of disobedience. Because they would turn their back on God and run after false gods. They would no longer trust in God, they will trust in a golden calf. They would not trust in God, they will trust in a golden serpent or some other stupid thing, or somebody said that that tree stump is holy and they would all bow down to it because, geez, maybe it is. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to come your way that's going to demand your worship. You can only worship the one true God. Do not get involved in anything pertaining to other religions, because Bible says God is a jealous God. And He is jealous. There's rubbish out there like The Secret that is telling you that if you do this and you do that and you do that and it's got nothing to do with God because all the power is within you, then your life will be wonderful. Man, at that moment that you do that stuff, you have turned your back on God because you're going to do it all yourself. You see, that's the central thing about Christianity. You can't do it yourself. That's why you need God.
Amen.
You can't save yourself. And you can sit here in this earthly life and think, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved." When you die, you're going to have a big problem. Because you can't save yourself. The devil's going to laugh at you. It's not good being able to just say, "I'm a Christian." Or, "I'm a believer." How many Christians are out there? Christian in word. But man, if you were to look at their life, you would think to yourself, "Geez, this is a heathen or an atheist." Because that's the way they act. They have long ago forsaken God. Bible says faith without works is dead. You want to say that I'm a child of God, you better act like a child of God. And woe to you if in the way that you act and in the things that you do, you cause another one to stumble. Because what happens to them is also over your head. It is an awesome responsibility to say, "I'm a Christian."
Amen.
Because it implies that I live a godly life and I honor God with my lifestyle. And the next time you write on a piece of paper, "denomination Christian" or "religion Christian," just remind yourself that this is not just a word that I'm writing. This is a lifestyle that I'm living.
Amen.
And check yourself and say, "Am I living the lifestyle or not?" You see, unfortunately, for you to say, "I'm a believer," fools nobody. Do you know that the Bible says in the New Testament, in the book of James chapter 2 verse 19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble." You saying, "I'm a believer," means you're on par with the demons out there. The thing is, there is not one demon that honors God. There is not one demon that obeys God. There is not one demon that has a relationship with God. And that's what will make you different from them. Stop saying, I believe. Show the world that you're a believer. Let them see it in your attitude. Let them hear it in your speech. Let them see it in the way that you treat people. That's how we know you're a believer.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and he understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever. God wants all of you. He doesn't just want a little bit of you. He doesn't just want you on Sundays when you get all dressed and all hoity-toity and go to church. God wants all of you. All of the time. Don't just turn to God when you need help or a quick fix or you've got a big problem in your life. Solomon was told he would find God when he sought after God with all his heart. That's what God wants. I still have more, but I will spare you that tonight. And I will share that with you next week. Guys, being a child of God is serious business. Because we are dealing with things with eternal value. Open your ears and listen when the Lord speaks to you. How does the Lord speak? Well, he spoke to you tonight from his word. He will speak to you every time you read the word. Every time you listen to a sermon, you are hearing the word of God. Listen to it. Obey it. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in your conscience. Sometimes you talk to somebody and you know, geez, you know what I'm doing? I shouldn't be doing this. Listen. Stop it. Be humble. Get rid of your pride. It's a disastrous thing to have. Lay down your pride. Sometimes when you've got to say sorry, you say sorry. For some of you, that's going to be like really uncharted waters. You know what? Sometimes saying sorry will change things. A therapy and this and that and what can never change. Because when you come to somebody sincerely and you say sorry, it immediately clears the air. All that anger, all that animosity is gone. But pride is what keeps people from doing these things. And pride is the opposite of humility. And the Bible says, unless you humble yourself before God, he will not hear from heaven. The Lord wants to answer prayer. But in order for him to answer your prayer, you've got to get with the program and begin to live the right life. You've got to apply the principles that the Word of God teaches us to get prayers to be answered. Did anybody learn something tonight?
Amen.
Well, bless God. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for the time that we could spend together. And Lord, we want to thank you that we have a promise. That you gave Solomon that promise and you said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will be found by me. If you honor me, I will honor you. Lord, there's a lot of people here tonight that have a lot of things that they are praying about. If their attitude has been wrong in any way, Lord, then I pray for them. And I ask you in Jesus' name, Father, please forgive them. Please have mercy on them. And come and change their life. As they call out to you, Lord, and they deal with the problems in their hearts, have mercy on them, Lord. And manifest the power and the glory of your kingdom in their life. Not for their sake. Father, for your sake. It's about your name, that your name would be praised. It's about your kingdom, that your kingdom would come. And we thank you that your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless God.